Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300.
So tell me why.
For the remainder of this hour of Issues Etc., we're going to be going through your email. We get a lot of email. We can't respond to all of it, but we do occasionally try to respond to as much of it as we can on the air. We're also listening to your comments from the Issues Etc. listener comment line. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. If you have a show suggestion, if you want to ask a question after you've listened on demand, you didn't get a chance to listen live, you say, I have a question about that, or something sounds wrong about that, or I'd like to chime in on that. That's what the email address and the comment line are for. Talkback@issuesetc.org and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382.
Now, before the start of today's show, as usual, we were talking St. Louis Cardinals baseball, and I see you have a Cardinals jersey. Is it? Do you have a player's name on the back of that jersey?
No, I do not.
Well, I'm proud of you. I've told you, once you are above... what, 25 years old, 30 years old?
And 14.
And you have a replica jersey with a professional athlete who's 10, 20, 30, 40 years younger than you. You go from fan to fanatic. There's nothing worse than a middle-aged man, you know, wearing a Jed Jerko jersey or Colton Wong jersey.
We should be careful. This rule does not apply to women. They can wear whatever they want.
Well, that's
it applies mostly to middle-aged men. Look, and if the player's dead, I will give you a pass.
The fact of the matter is, women, if they could, and they probably do have them, would be wearing Mike Matheny jerseys.
Yes.
Because he is, what would you say? What's the proper term?
Beefcake.
Beefcake. Is that still around? Beefcake. I didn't even know
that. It is in my family.
Okay.
I don't hear it much, but it's... Yeah, my wife, if she could get what do they call them?
Like replica jersey?
Yeah, replica jersey. It would be Mike Matheny. It would have been John Jay before. She picks out a player every year that's going to be her boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
So this year, I think it's Martell Ozuna, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
She talks a lot about him.
Is she brushing up on her Spanish, or?
I don't know.
Well, I digress.
But I am wearing a Cardinals jersey.
Yes, you are. I have to get this off my chest. And you guys have all heard this. Let me set the stage for those people who aren't St. Louis Cardinals baseball fans. The St. Louis Cardinals, Sunday night, played on national television, ESPN, against the Arians, the Chicago Cubs, after losing Friday night 13-5 and Saturday 6-3.
Yeah, two humiliating games.
National TV. We got a rookie pitcher, Jack Flaherty, on the mound. Not looking good.
And when we say rookie, we mean so rookie, he didn't even start at the beginning of the season.
Correct. So, he pitches 5 shutout innings, and the Cards go on to win 5-0. Avoiding a sweep by the Arians, a.k.a. the Chicago Cubs. Now, I wake up the next morning, and here's what MLB.com, the headline, reads this. Yadi, this is the Cardinals catcher, Yadier Molina. Yadi guides Flaherty-led shutout on historic night. Now, the term fake news is bandied about way too much nowadays. But this, my friends, is fake news. I watched the game. I did not see Yadier Molina throw one pitch. I did not see Yadier Molina strike Chris Bryant out with the bases loaded with a low and away slider at 85 miles per hour. But when you live in St. Louis Yadier Molina not only pitches, catches, hits, he can do no wrong. Nothing to take away from Yadier Molina. Probably a Major League Baseball Hall of Famer. Certainly the best catcher in the history of the St. Louis Cardinals franchise. However, I refuse to be a Cardinal Kool-Aid consumer. So I'm calling fake news.
What if you were writing the headline and the story to follow, what would the headline have been from that third game in the Cubs series?
Rookie pitcher Flaherty shuts down Cubs. That's all you need to say.
To prevent sweep.
Yeah, to prevent sweep.
Yeah.
But, I mean, national television, national stage, this kid, and Yadi probably deserves some credit. He went to the mound and talked to him one time, which is, you know, a rookie's probably going to get a little excited in situations like that. But come on, Yadi guides Flaherty-led shutout on historic night. Fake news. I feel better now.
Okay, good. We've all heard it a couple times here in the office.
Oh, golly. There's something about Yadier Molina in this town, and I love him. And I'm thankful he's a catcher, and I don't want to take anything away from him. But you read and you hear the announcers, it's like Yadi threw the pitch and then ran 90 feet behind home plate, caught it to where he wanted the pitcher to throw it to. He does it all himself.
Now, they might have been talking about the late in the game with a lead by four. What was it? A double that he hit, which is pretty rare for Yadi nowadays.
Yeah, he did drive in a run in a 4-0 game.
When we were leading, but it wasn't decisive.
And we won 5-0. He did get an RBI. He went 1-for-4. But people in this town, you think he went 4-for-4 and hit 4 grand slams or hit for the cycle. Anyway. Thank you. I feel much better. Sorry, listeners. Email. Scott writes, in regards to your interview with Pastor Fisk on children falling away from the faith, I appreciate you addressing this difficult issue, but found part of the interview disturbing. Right around the 26-minute mark, Pastor Fisk makes a statement paraphrasing a Luther quote. We need to have enough faith that if God damns us on Judgment Day for not having faith, we will say amen. This statement is absurd. If God says we don't have faith, then we won't be able to say amen when he damns us. Even if Luther did say this, Pastor Fisk gave no citation, this statement strikes me as very un-Lutheran, and I can't find it in the Bible. This sounds like something a hyper-Calvinist would say. Not helpful. As my children are thrown into the flames, I will say, Alleluia, praise Jesus. Maybe if you put the best construction on this, it could be okay, but it really does not seem like good pastoral teaching or advice. Again, it's not helpful for trying to make a point, and it's confusing and deeply disturbing. Finally, the reason I am deeply concerned about my loved ones falling away from grace is because I love them in a special way because they are my family. No one is free from sinful selfishness. But suggesting parents' deep concern for their own children's salvation is mostly selfish is wrong. The Bible teaches us to be very concerned for our children's salvation. Most of the interview was very helpful, and I appreciate Pastor Fisk's teaching and issues, etc. Thanks for this feedback, Scott.
On the last point, I'll just try to work my way through them in no particular order. On the last point, I don't think that Pastor Fisk was meant to insinuate that parents concerned about their children's salvation is always selfish. I think you've misunderstood that there, because after all, the entire conversation was about parents ought to be concerned about their children's salvation, ought to be a paramount concern. It is the greatest concern that parents ought to have. It's the greatest duty that has been given to parents, that is to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And therefore, it ought to be the highest priority that parents exercise every day. Everything that they do as parents ought to be oriented toward that goal insofar as they can do this. Obviously, we tried to make it clear that this is not placing this burden on parents, that if your children are damned, you did it. Although that can certainly be done. There should be warning against that. But so we're trying to avoid that extreme there. Now, as to the question of free-floating, unattributed Luther quotes, it's one of the most dangerous features of 20th century, 21st century Lutheranism is that we have access now via the internet to apocryphal, cherry-picked, paraphrased, sometimes terribly paraphrased Luther quotes. It has done nothing to advance the true teaching of God's word to simply have Luther quotes available at our fingertips. It's kind of like C.S. Lewis quotes or G.K. Chesterton quotes or any of the other quotes that kind of get thrown around. They're amusing. They have a certain aphoristic quality that may be helpful from time to time, but to build a theology on it is dangerous. So Lutheran pastors, Lutheran theologians always do well, if they're going to quote Luther, to have chapter and verse and context, of course, to be able to explain that sometimes Luther made statements that were unqualified, or perhaps we might even say that were overstatements. Luther was kind of a master of hyperbole. Now, he often did it within context to make a point, but it makes quoting him sometimes a treacherous business. This is why Lutherans subscribe not to Luther, but to the Lutheran confessions. And if you read the Lutheran confessions, they carefully and consciously avoid overstatement. They don't follow Luther's example of making of hyperbole and overstatement. The Lutheran confessions are extremely careful not to overstate the case one way or the other, but to carefully say things the way Scripture says them, even if it takes pages and pages in order to do that as carefully as they possibly can. So this is why Lutherans subscribe to the Lutheran confessions. So I cannot speak to the issue of whether or not there's a valid Luther quote to back up the idea. This notion that we would, there is a sense in which everyone on the last day at Christ's coming will acknowledge him with an amen to be Lord. That's clearly taught in Scripture, but we cannot go beyond that to say what we will do or how we will react at Christ's final judgment. We have certain things, the parable of the sheep and goats, or the so-called parable of the sheep and goats. We have the accounts in the book of Revelation of the judgment. I would note that there are many places in the book of Revelation where those who are assembled in heaven, and we're not talking about a chronological record here, but those who are assembled in heaven do praise God for his just judgments, even of evildoers. So there is, in the end, some kind of praise rendered in heaven for God's just judgment of evildoers. But when we get to that point in the book of Revelation near the end, where the judgment actually occurs, it's called white throne judgment there in chapter 20, there are no such hymns of praise to God. That doesn't mean there won't be, but it simply means that we can't go far, we cannot go beyond what Scripture would say. I think I once heard a Christian commentator say something like, well, when God judges and condemns unbelievers in eternity, we will say amen because we conclude that is God's will. Which is, God wills that none at all perish. So I don't think we can conclude that. I'm not sure what point that Pastor Fisk was trying to make with the Luther quote, but we do need to affirm that at the judgment, God's judgments will be acclaimed and affirmed by all to be right and just true, even if such a judgment is wrung out of them against their will. And there'll be no arguing with God in the end. As to the quote about children being tossed in the flames, we never need to go beyond what Scripture says. We will simply say, how people have this. They have this basic concern about their kids. How can I enjoy eternity if my children aren't there with me in the resurrection? And the answer to that is, we don't know. But we are promised that there will be no weeping, no tears, that all sorrow and sighing will be swept away, that there will be bliss. But we do not know how that particular concern of ours here on this side of the resurrection fits into the equation, how it fits into the final formula there. But the important point here is to say only what Scripture gives us to say and not to go beyond it, even if we have Luther as an example of doing so. We'll be right back. I'm coming home. Well, my baby, she wrote me a letter.
What does it mean to be a man? More importantly, what does it mean to be a man of God? In its June issue, the Lutheran Witness aims to help readers dig more deeply into the Bible's vision of men set free. Free to be loving husbands, caring fathers, bold proclaimers of the gospel, and self-sacrificial images of Jesus Christ. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
LCMS National Housing Corporation is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During June, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to LCMS National Housing Corporation. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Quinn, Senior Pastor of Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas, inviting you to join us for divine service on Sundays at 8:15 or 11 a.m. Living Word is located at 9500 North Panther Creek Drive in The Woodlands, a community about 30 miles north of Houston. That's Living Word Lutheran Church, where we proclaim the living word of Christ, that all who hear may walk in newness of life.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
If you come,
welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. The comment line, open 24/7 for your questions, comments, show suggestions, criticism, 618-223-8382. And our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Speaking of the comment line, here is a question from the Issues Etc. comment line about the veneration of saints.
Hello, this is Tanya from Columbus. I've come out of kind of some strange religious traditions. I've been a confessional Lutheran for probably the past almost 30 years, but I still have some questions regarding Roman Catholicism and the cult of the veneration of the saints. This is something my mother is still very, very staunchly old school Catholic, and she's very much into that cult of prayer to the saints, which I find creepy or unbiblical. But I'm disturbed about that because I'm wondering if this might be some sort of a salvation issue for Roman Catholics. Just a topic that maybe we might want to delve into, or maybe you have delved into in the past and I've just not heard the episode. But it's something of a lot of interest to me because, you know, even as long as I've been a confessional Lutheran, you know, my mom's like, well, you should pray to Saint so-and-so about this, or a novena to so-and-so, you know, this guy or that guy, and it just strikes me as kind of creepy and idolatrous. So I just kind of wanted to know what your thoughts are.
Well, I think we've done a number of shows on the invocation of saints or the veneration of saints. It's actually not a real simple thing to deal with because there's a history to it. There's also several facets of the Roman Catholic belief, some of which are more troubling than others, all of which are generally troubling, but some of which are more troubling than others. You raised the one, is this a salvation issue? I'll deal with that in a minute. But I think it was recently, kind of end of May, we did an episode of our series on the Lutheran Confessions with Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House, going through the Apology of the Augsburg Confession, which is the second document in the 16th century
Book of Concord that make up the Lutheran Confessions that I was talking about before, those documents to which Lutherans should subscribe. There in the Apology, there is an actual article on the Invocation of Saints. That's what they called it then. And we dealt with that topic. You can find it at our website, issuesetc.org. It was about May 24th, I believe, where we did that part of the series with him and dealt with the topic, at least in what the Augsburg Confession has to say about it at the time of the Reformation. You mentioned the salvation issue. There are two different general aspects here. Sometimes Roman Catholics are going to practice this as a form of, I'm going to be, for lack of a better word, I'm going to be kind of blunt, a form of superstition, hedging your bets. You want something to happen. You are fearful that something might happen. You pray to a certain saint. It's a superstition, superstitious practice to pray to this saint. We are never called upon in Scripture, as the Lutheran Confessions say, we have no command, promise, or example in Scripture of praying to the saints or seeking anything from them. The more dangerous thing about the Invocation of Saints is the whole system from which it sprang, which was this notion that the saints have a treasury of merits upon which we can draw for our own salvation, Christ's merits not being entirely sufficient, or maybe he's a little stingy with them, so we need extra merits that the saints have aplenty, and we can seek those from them in prayer. And that is a salvation issue. So what I suggest is a conversation with your mom. Ask her, why do you do this? What are you seeking? Is this a matter of salvation? Do you seek more than simply kind of assurance of your mind that you've covered all your bets by praying to the saints? How is this different from superstition? And maybe the question, where do you find in Scripture any command, promise, or example that would lead you to pray to the saints? Ask those questions. Maybe if bring along a good Lutheran pastor with you who can kind of mediate or referee the boxing match there. The Issues Etc. book of the month for June is called Religion on Trial. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest Craig Parton. In this book, he examines the religious truth claims and teaches you how to do the same. Find out more about Religion on Trial at our website. It's on every page, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House. This is a great book to order for your pastor or for in number for a Bible class. It'd be a good way to kind of walk through a Bible class and learn together how to examine and cross-examine religious truth claims. Just give Concordia Publishing House a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The book is called Religion on Trial, Cross-Examining Religious Truth Claims by Craig Parton. When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time in hour two looking forward to Sunday morning. According to the one-year lectionary, Pastor David Peterson will be our guest. We're going to be working through the propers of the coming Sunday, heading toward the gospel reading, where in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus speaks about judging one another or how we judge matters. When Jesus says, judge not lest you be judged, which is that Bible passage, it's often tossed out nowadays. Does he mean that Christians ought to practice no judgment whatsoever? We'll answer that along with other questions about this coming Sunday morning with Pastor David Peterson after the break.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
I'm talking with regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb about a new book by one of his former professors. Which one, Ken?
The late Dr. Kurt Marquardt, and the book is The Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People.
You edited this book.
Yeah, the unpublished manuscript was among Marquardt's papers, and it is vintage Marquardt, lively, engaging, centering in the Christ who saves, with an apologetics chapter at the end.
You can find out more about Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People at lutheracademy.com.